Doing great, Brian. How are you?
I am well. Randy Cross joining me this morning as well. Read your article about the president possibly unifying the NFL owners, players, union. Is this one of those kumbaya moments you think can last, or is this something that's ephemeral?
Well, no, it's not going to last. I mean, it's the NFL. They got to argue amongst themselves. yeah, I don't think any issue could do that for too long. But, you know, look, they don't normally agree about anything. And on this occasion, there certainly was a lot of unity. I was at the game in London and, you know, talking after, I think what's striking is, you know, whether it's what Shad Khan said or what Mercedes Lewis said or what, you know, guys that kneeled said, you had guys that stood, guys that kneeled, guys, you know, owners, you had coaches, and they all had different reasons for why they decided to do what they did, but their main message was, we support the other guy as well. I took a knee, but I respect why you stood. You know, Mercedes Lewis, for instance, just said, I don't like kneeling because my stepdad earned a Purple Heart and was in the military. I just don't feel that's the way to go. That was respected on all sides, just as he respected everyone else. And I think probably one of the things with this issue is not there's a lot of talking going on. There's not a lot of listening. I mean, there's a lot of listening in NFL locker rooms, which are diverse places, not just, you know, racially, but with incredible span of backgrounds. People from all over the country, from rural areas, from cities, from suburbs, east, west, all of that, you know, even foreign countries. So I think what really you get there is that when they're all talking and discussing, there was a lot of respect for the opinions. Outside the locker room, I don't think there's a whole lot of respect for any of the opinions.
Yeah. Hey, Dan, just out of curiosity, is this the same group of hypocritical billionaires that were charging the U.S. military and the Defense Department for time on the field to honor returning veterans and stuff that not that long ago that is now so patriotic and everything else?
Yeah,
just asking. Just saying. Wouldn't they be better off just to eliminate this whole process, take the players off the field, play the national anthem, bring out the flag, do all that stuff, have the color guard, and just not involve the players? Because they're hypocrites. They're not in this for any other reason. If you looked at that locked arms and that Jerry Jones was on the field with his guys, he's there in the trenches with his guys, my butt.
Well, I would say this. I mean, I've argued this before. I don't know whether, you know, I support it. But why do we even do this at football games? We'll do it before you eat dinner. You don't do it at the movies. You don't do it at a big concert. You don't do it. You don't do it at anything. And I look.
You pray before a meal. They're going to start doing that too.
Well, some people pray before meals, yeah. But not everyone does. So I don't know. You know, and like why do we have it? It didn't always. It started in for the most part. It started in a World Series in the 1930s. They played in the seventh inning stretch in Chicago. And there was a lot of, or maybe it was I think it was the 30s. They were coming back from World War II. I'm going to get the dates wrong. I didn't plan on telling the story. But they basically, a band played the Star Spangled Banner. And there was a lot of veterans in the crowd, and they got really excited and started cheering. And it was like a pump up the crowd thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it started. It's almost like stadium rock, the early days. And we've gone into this thing, and you have this whole thing. I look around the stadiums. I'm in a stadium all the time or basketball arena. All these people drinking beers during it. There's people holding their cameras, people scooting up the walkway to get to the bathroom when they can. They're eating hot dogs. They're talking. I mean, it just is what it is.
Well, I do all the home games at Navy. They don't quite have that problem before the before the game.
Yeah, it's become this. Look, this is political correctness. This is what this is. This is the same political correctness you have on the other on all sides. Where if you don't act the way I want you to act, if you don't say the thing I want you to say, then you shouldn't be able to say it, and you're all wrong. And that's what they're arguing. That's what the argument is here. It's no different than people saying I don't want that speech getting told at Cal Berkeley or something like that, or this college. It's all political correctness.
Yeah. Well, we're back to hypocritical actions too.
Political correctness. I just think you want to stand, you want to sit, you want to kneel, whatever you want to do. That you want to go to that speech, this person should be able to say, I like listening more than talking on this stuff.
Dan Wetzel, Yahoo Sports columnist, joining us here, CBS Sports Radio, Geo and Jones. Was this unification that we witnessed and you saw firsthand there in London, was it more about the players' mothers being disrespected than it was about the central overriding cause that has been brought to the forefront by Colin Kaepernick?
I think it was just Trump. Yeah, Trump's comments, the divisiveness, the comments about the mothers. The same time, you know, the comment that the game's not violent enough anymore. That's jarring for a player to hear, especially when you consider the day earlier they find out Aaron Hernandez had CTE, played till he's 23. There's just a great disrespect, and that's what this was about. In week two,
there's another word besides the PC thing that we could do without. This whole respect and disrespect, right. BS.
Yeah.
If you have an opinion, you got a damn opinion. Stand by it.
Stand by your opinion. But, I think in week two, no one's keeping track of, there was apparently no official stat on this, but it's believed like 8 to 10 players took a knee in week two. So this thing really wasn't a big movement. And then when Trump brought it up, that's what stirred this thing up. And now you got teams missing, and it just became this huge thing. So this was a direct response to Trump's comments. And that's what got it stirred up, probably because he wanted it stirred up.
Yeah, well, you know what? You mentioned, I broached this subject earlier, Dan, sort of my favorite conspiracy theory of the week, that the Billionaire Boys Club was pretty happy with their guy Trump bringing this up because of the whole thing that went down with Aaron Hernandez and CTE, because they're staring. I mean, that shotgun is right between the eyes right now of this game, and they want as much attention as possible away from CTE, away from brain injuries, away from any association with the Golden Goose, because the Golden Goose isn't looking quite as golden right now.
Yeah, it's certainly possible, and this is a complete, wedge issue. I think in one of the columns I said, it doesn't, there's very little tangible effect on anyone's life other than those maybe making the decision to kneel. But whether a guy kneels or not in a football game, how often do you even watch the national anthem?
Oh, yeah.
2 hours ago, a guy kneeled. That doesn't, or he stood. That's not making my kid's school better. It's not making my job more secure. It's not disarming nuclear threats. It's just one of these things that comes up, and America's an interesting place because we have these rollicking debates over these things, but it's not a life and death issue on this. This is a political correctness argument, and they got the whole country arguing over whether you should or shouldn't be politically correct by someone's definition on this, and that's what's going on. And that's distracted people from all sorts of things. It's easy to distract, and political correctness has done that for years.
Bill Russell said a long time ago that athletes are like a beautiful woman. No one cares what they think or how intelligent they are. Do these players feel like they're being marginalized when they can also play football and yet simultaneously have concerns in their communities?
I'm gonna assume yes. I don't know. I can't quite answer that. What I can tell you is when you sit and listen to the players after that game on Sunday, when I listened to Jaguars and Ravens talk about why they did what they did and whether that was more people stood than kneel. Now, but when you listen to all the stories, why'd you choose to do this? They all had a very thoughtful answer. Mm-hmm. They all talked about how it wasn't easy making the decision to do one or the other. They all talked about how they saw the other side. They all had it was articulate, and it was nuanced, and it was intelligent in ways that I don't think they get that people hear or look at them, or some people, and characterize them as just players. they're just athletes, and a lot of them, just a black athlete most often in the NFL. And I think, again, if we listen and not just talk at it, you're going to hear things. Like, you know, this isn't, they're not screaming on Twitter with cap locks on. They have real interesting perspectives. And again, it's like, it's not just why'd you kneel, it's like, why'd you stand? You know, and they articulate very interesting. So I think that's why you have a very different opinion from people inside the NFL who are in a locker room and on a team and discussing this stuff nonstop, and fans who aren't hearing that. And I'd love to see more discussion from the athletes who are, let them voice their thing, because it's actually a very interesting stuff on all sides on this.
Hey, you know, Dan, how do you explain, or how did you explain, or were you asked sort of it was jarring to a lot of people that the players chose to kneel during the anthem in London and then stand during God Save the Queen. Doesn't that illustrate what an unbelievable country this is, that you have that right, you can do that, where a lot of countries, you go out of your way to publicly denigrate your country or bring attention, something negative to your country, you're going to be in some deep doo-doo.
Well, that's why I'm anti-PC. I just like that we have the freedom to argue and say stuff, and even everyone in the country has the right to be offended by whatever they want also, and so people get offended by everything. I just don't get offended by virtually anything. The answer to, I just don't care. If you're doing it, interesting. I wonder why that person did it. That doesn't mean I'm not going to judge you on it or something. Like, if you are completely against something, I think, well, I'm not really want to be friends with that person, but I don't call for you to be silenced. I don't scream that you should be fired. That's all anyone ever does anymore. You should be fired for saying that. You should be fired for thinking that. It's just political correctness just running over everything. When I ask players to your question, what was up with God Save the Queen? The simple answer was they just didn't feel it would be respectful for them on in England to kneel for that anthem. They don't have a beef with England, and they don't even know. You know, they're just not up on that. So that's just respect for their hosts in England.
Right.
And they the game was there, and that's why that thing's getting played. Normally it isn't. I'm not even sure everyone knew that the God Save the Queen was going to get played. But so I think I was just being respectful for it.
I don't I would say Colin Kaepernick is paying the price for being the first to kneel and drawing attention to this. He's paying the price in a big way. When you talk to the players, did you get a sense of their plan of action moving forward?
No, I don't know that they do have one. And I think that's one of the problems with these things is it's hard to manage, right? It's like, what's the next step? How long does this go on? How long is Trump going to keep talking about it? If he continues to kind of bait it, I'm sure there's going to be mass. The same thing we had last week is going to be this week. If it kind of dies out, I think there's a lot of people that wanted to do it once, but maybe are not. They just really want to play football. You guys played. You got 53 guys in that locker room. It's just every different opinion you're possibly going to have, and a coaching staff, and then you extrapolate that over the league. It's just. You're not going to have a totally unified thing for the long run. I think this was unified in that we respect our teammates' opinions. I think that's really what they were saying, that we're not going to get divided by the president on this, and that's why they all stood and linked arms. But I don't know what the plan is going forward. Everyone was kind of scrambling. There was definitely a lot of anger. There's a lot of group text message chains. There's discussions in the hallways of the team hotel. I mean, it was just people kind of trying to figure out what to do. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do going forward. And I think a lot of these guys, honestly, would like to put it behind them.
Yeah.
And I think it kind of was behind a lot of them in the NFL.
Yeah. How about entertain me?
I know what the
Get
Raiders are going to do.
Entertain me.
Not go back to London. Damn.
Ravens stayed up. They didn't really get up. That was their problem.
No, they didn't.
Hey, Dan, appreciate it, my man. Best of luck down the road.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Dan.
Dan Wetzel, Yahoo Sports columnist. Yeah, they got a beat down, man, that early kick. And I remember getting up Sunday mornings. wait, there's a game going on already? Was that from, what am I watching? It happens every year. I'm always confused by the London game.
Yeah.
Because I guess the kick is, what, 9, 9.30?
Well, yeah, that game started right about the time you're normally waking up and getting ready to take a shower to go to brunch.
No, yoga first, then brunch.
Yoga, then brunch?
Yeah. I had to get a workout in, but I do get to sleep in on Sundays. So
your brunch reservation is what, about 12:30?
Yeah, 12:30.
Yeah,
it starts right about then.
Get the grub in right before kickoff?
Grub and Prosecco, get it flowing. Yes, got to get primed for
gotta,
NFL
gotta
action.
Lay that good base down before you hit that Prosecco.
that good foundation, that's it, man. All right. Gio and Jones, Randy Cross sitting in for Gio. We got more football talk. We got some hoop talk. And we have another guest. Our buddy Houston Nuts going to join us at 8:40. But first, here's the truth. Many of you have simply had it. You've struggled with pain long enough and you want what I want, a 100% drug-free answer to your pain. And I found it, folks. I found it with Relief Factor. I was very skeptical about Relief Factor, but I said, okay, let me try it out. 100% drug-free, that's for me. And it helped eliminate the pain I was experiencing in my elbow. I have no idea where the pain came from, but I was feeling it every time I got on my yoga mat. Well, I don't feel it anymore. Relief Factor did big, big work for me and my pain. I know you out there, some of you want to play golf, you want to get back on that tennis court, but your pain won't allow you to do that. You want to take nice, long walks again. How about just sleeping through the night without pain? Neck, back, shoulder, hip, and knee pain can be simply awful. Here's what I suggest you do. Go to ReliefFactor.com, order the 3-week quick start, a super value at just $19.95, so you can see if it will help you like it did for me. ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384.
Keep up with the latest on the show on Twitter at Gio and Jones.
Brad Heller's here for an update. He has no beard. He's got some scruffy stuff going on over there. You look like you're still in Baton Rouge, man.
Thank you.
You had a good time.
Yeah.
Party a little bit. Did you get some gumbo?
Little gumbo, yeah. Spent Friday in New Orleans and made the drive to Baton Rouge Friday night and was there Friday night and Saturday night.
So. Cool. So was there a big Syracuse contingent that went?
A lot bigger than I thought. A lot of people kind of made a weekend out of it, yeah. Stayed in New Orleans. Ran into a bunch of guys, bunch of frat bros that, yeah, like rented a bus from New Orleans and had a driver take them there and back, which is the way to go. You're going to go to Baton Rouge for a game. Last thing you want to do
When you go to a football or a sporting event with a bunch of guys from Syracuse, is everybody doing play-by-play at the same time?
That was a fear of mine, so I just stick with my family. My family has season tickets. They're big fans. Yeah. You don't want to go with Newhouse, guys. You don't want to go with those sports broadcasters. They don't shut up during the
game. Wow. So. That is a very good question. Yeah.
That's an inquiring mind wanted to know.
You know, it's a first time anybody's ever asked that, but it's a question you should really think about.
How many in your number went to the broadcasting school there?
How many?
They were with you this past weekend.
No, I was just with my family.
Oh, okay. Just your family.
Just my family, right. My family, my mom's from up in Syracuse, so we've been going to games forever, so.
All right.
They travel a
lot. Well, make your mama proud.
All right.
Do an update.
All right, guys. Monday Night Football, the Cowboys were joined by owner Jerry Jones as they took a knee at midfield, and then both the Cowboys and Cardinals stood for the national anthem, arms locked. As for the game, it was a big fourth quarter for Dallas.
And it is first and goal at the 8. Elliott with a handoff, coming to the right side, a block from Collins, nearing the goal line. Touchdown, Ezekiel Elliott.
Brad Shammah, the call, Cowboys Radio Network. Cowboys outscored the Cardinals 14-3 in the fourth on the way to a 28-17 win in Arizona. Dak Prescott, 2 touchdown passes. He ran for another. The defense, 6 sacks of Carson Palmer. Dallas is 2-1, Arizona 1-2. NBA training camps opened yesterday. The Thunder introducing Carmelo Anthony, who now has to share the spotlight with both Russell Westbrook and Paul George.
How do you feel about, you know, starting at the 4, or the concept of starting at the 4, or even coming off the bench? And the second question is...
Well, me?
Oh. I guess that answers that part.
I mean, I don't know where that started, where I came from. Hey, P, they said I got to come off the bench.
Ain't no Syracuse national champion coming off the bench.
Yeah, that was an interesting question. Coming off the bench, you think he's going to go down to to OKC and be a bench warmer? No way.
There's plenty of room because they can't pay more than three guys anyway this year,
yeah,
right?
That's
so
true.
They're going to play everybody 3-on-5.
And yeah, that's all they're going to have for the court at one time based on the payroll with these guys.
May not have enough basketballs, but we will find
there's
out.
There's definitely not enough balls.
It'll be interesting
and
they're
out of cap space.
It'll be interesting to see how that works out with Melo, George, and Westbrook in OKC. Baseball, Aaron Judge breaking Mark McGwire's rookie home run record, numbers 49 and 50 in the Yankees' 11-3 win over the Royals in New York.
To be honest, never really thought about it, you know, especially in this playoff push that we have. You know, I was just trying to do whatever I can to put our team in a good position going into October, you know, and if it's hit a couple home runs and I get there, you know, that'd be great, but I was mostly worried about, you know, putting our team in a good position for the playoffs.
The Yankees 4 games behind the Red Sox now in the division with 6 to go. Boston lost to the Blue Jays at home 6-4. Angels fell to the White Sox 4-2. They fall 5 games behind the Twins for the final wild card spot in the AL. The Cubs' magic number down to 1 in the NL Central. They routed the Cardinals 10-2. Dodgers get to 100 wins 9-3 over the Padres. Guys.
Thank you, Guy. Appreciate it. And it looks like you're going to get out of here unscathed again. Damn.
Well,
maybe.
We'll see.
You better hear him leave.
Until I hear that door squeak and close,
I
know.
This is
that
true.
I'm safe.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
Ciao. So we're big fans of Jeopardy. We're big, probably bigger fans of, not probably, we
and
are
we
bigger
fans. We also put ourselves in enough of it on occasion.
Yeah, that, this is true. And that's not for air. you probably more so than me. Family Feud's probably number one on the list. But Jeopardy, it's right there as well. And usually these cats on Jeopardy are pretty knowledgeable, we would say, right?
Fairly.
Yeah. Mensa.
Fairly. Sometimes, sometimes the red light gets them, though.
Right. True that. So these three contestants that we're going to now hear from weren't as knowledgeable as you might otherwise believe when it came to NFL history. I understand that there's some topics on there from time to time that, you know, we regular folks aren't up on, but you would think some Hall of Famers, maybe.
Nerds do quantum physics really, really well.
Yeah.
Sports?
Yeah.
Nah.
Okay.
Not so much.
They stay in their lane.
Yeah. Well, Syracuse guy accepted.
Yeah, true.
He reads sports well.
But check this out.
NFL Teams 400.
Wide receiver Michael Irvin. Played for the Dallas Cowboys.
NFL Teams 2.
Defensive tackle Mean Joe Green. Played for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yvonne.
NFL Team 6.
Running back Marcus Allen. Anupama.
What is Colorado Rockies?
No, sorry. Dennis or Yvonne? Who are the Los Angeles Raiders?
Wait. Colorado Rockies?
Colorado Rockies.
Marcus Allen, baseball player now. Wow.
Wow. Well, you know.
You said it.
Yeah.
They stick with the physics.
That's right.
And leave the sports to us.
That's right.
Right.
That's
cool.
Right.
Yeah.
Leave you nerds do you.
Yeah.
And we the sports dummies over here will take care of us.
Yeah, that's
what is Colorado Rockies?
No.
So you have two of the more
we want to save the earth or cure something we have. We'll get back to you.
Right, two of the more iconic players and franchises. The first two with the Cowboys and the Steelers. Mean Joe Green, of course, Steelers, and Michael Irvin, the Cowboys, and they were oblivious to us. So hey, each his own. What are you gonna do? It is what do you say? It is what it is. So there you have that. There was something you brought to my attention that occurred at the Patriots game.
Wow.
Sunday. So apparently they ran out of water.
Bottled water. It was like 87 degrees in Foxborough.
Right. Yeah. This Indian summer we're enjoying.
So they were just, people were sucking up the water.
And a hell of a game to watch as well, the Texans and the Patriots. So they run out of bottled water.
Yeah.
And, okay, we have a remedy for this.
Got a little something on tap?
Yep.
Sure, we got it.
Cool.
Give me a glass of water. Cup of water.
Yeah.
You know, and they have Coke cups or whatever, and they got the memorabilia cups, but just a normal cup of water.
Yeah.
Have a cup of water. That'll be $4.50.
Cup of water. Just a cup. Now, Arthur Blank there at the new Mercedes Dome water's just $2, right? Isn't everything pretty much $2, like Augusta?
You can go into a diabetic coma on a budget at the Georgia Dome. The good news is Chick-fil-A is closed there on Sunday,
right,
too.
Right, right.
They have one in the stadium. But, yeah, the concessions are really reasonable. Yeah. Bottle of water is going to be $2.
Yeah.
And hot dog and stuff, like $3.
Yeah, at the most. And yet here at the Patriots game, the Patriots, come on. Five-time Super Bowl champion Patriots.
$4.50.
For a cup of water. Yeah. Not a jumbo cup.
No. Tap water.
Tap water. Not a big gulp.
Well, people don't know most of that stuff you buy in the bottles.
Yeah.
That's tap water, too. They just put a top on it.
Yeah. That's it. And a fancy name on it. Yeah. That's it. Right.
Yeah, like call this, it crazy water.
This. No. There ain't no tap water now. Uh-huh. That's tap water's in my crazy water bottle, yes. But I have this flown in from Texas. Shipped in from Texas, man. Mineral water. Alkaline water. Yes.
Is that your weight loss water?
No. No. It's just good alkaline water.
I thought you flew in that water from Mexico when you needed to lose a few pounds.
No. That's a good idea, but no. That may help you lose a little bit more than a few extra pounds.
Used to call that the Tijuana Trots.
Exactly. Hey, Gio and Jones, Randy Krause joining me this morning, sitting in for Gio. Our number is 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We got Chris on the line in Pennsylvania. What's happening, Chris? Welcome to CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Just wanted to weigh in on the Colin Kaepernick and the protesting thing real quick. Won't keep you too long. I was thinking about it the other day. I was listening to Tiki and Tierney, and I think Tierney said something about how the best thing that could happen is the NFL and all its diversity banding together. So when I seen what they did on Monday night, and I think it, you know, was a better way of handling it. I understand, you know, people don't want protesting. It distracts, and people are going to get angry if you're military, if you're cops. But remember, it's the national anthem. It's for all of us. And I think in our society, we have issues with people like movie stars and football players. We expect so much out of them to be socially responsible. Domestic violence, you know, they're supposed to not do it and be humble to it. They got to look out to the kids. Well, this is an issue, too. You know, cop brutality, racism still present in this country. And to use this platform, it could be really good for our country to see. It could be something we look at and the kids look at and say, it isn't right. And someone earlier today on your show said that we have the right to do that in this country. A lot of other countries we don't. I say let these sports stars and role models do this. Just do it for the right reasons. I mean, if this was protesting against terrorism, no one would say anything. But because it's the flag and because Donald Trump said something and because we associate the flag with the military, it makes it convoluted. But honestly, I think it's just about equality. Like, just our country was made as a melting pot. I think they should change the national anthem to this land is your land, this land is our land.
Chris, great call. Appreciate it. And that's
written by Woody Guthrie, by the way, way back there in the Depression.
Yeah. Interesting that he mentioned that, because I was thinking along those lines about, why don't we change our national anthem to something that is more inclusive? Because there's a verse that's deleted from the national anthem that a lot of people wouldn't be too happy with that pertains to slavery. So, you know, do a little history, if you will, or look into a little history and check out the entire national anthem. Chris is right, and the other calls are right, and I believe it was you that brought up to Dan Wetzel the fact that what we're exercising as freedoms here are sometimes outlawed elsewhere. But the platform is challenging, and as a lot of people have asserted, it's very challenging because the oppression message or the injustice message gets lost because it's such a challenging platform considering everything that we assign to the flag and to the national anthem. So that's going to be a hurdle that we still haven't crossed because you can't get to what it is that you want to focus on because we're focused on the platform in which you use to to share your plight.
It's just not going to be a venue, not going to be a way to get your message across that's gonna work because it's just so polarizing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is just so polarizing that some people don't want to hear it, which I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I'll also say something that people won't necessarily like. Just because you believe in the flag, just because you believe in the anthem, just because you believe, does not make you a white supremacist.
Right.
Does not make you a redneck. Does not make you a lot of the negatives. You know, doesn't give you an automatic Klan card.
No,
but
I agree.
But that is where people immediately go. Immediately. When you express that opinion. Ah, you're a white supremacist. No. You're a racist. It's like, whoa.
Right.
No, pump the brakes.
And just because you side with the players who are kneeling doesn't mean you're unpatriotic. Doesn't mean you don't love your country as much. If you can, just because you can find fault with your country doesn't mean you don't love your country. Yeah. I love my country. I've said it numerous times. Love it. It's a great country. I live a great life. I've been blessed.
Let's also remember, between Monday night, from Thursday to Monday, you probably had what? 250, maybe 300 players kneel out of the 1,600 that are in the NFL. So if I'm an NFL player too, what if I'm one of the guys that wasn't in the 250? Don't be painting me with that.
Right.
And
that's
what it goes back to. If we don't all do it, then don't do it.
No. We shouldn't be generalizing by any group about any group of people, whether it's law enforcement, whether it's black people, whether it's white people. Let's just stop generalizing.
It'd be nice if we could get things going on Tuesdays, on days off, on off time, that brings light to this. I'll tell you one guy that people should look up what he does charity-wise and community-wise, Tony Dungy.
Yeah.
He's got a whole mentoring program that would do wonders for people to get involved.
Well, there are a number of players here, and the Jets players and Giants players that have been doing that, meeting with law enforcement and creating a dialogue. Malcolm Jenkins down with the Philadelphia Eagles is doing the same thing as well. We're going to get to a break. We got Houston Nutt coming up to talk a little college football. Before that, if you need auto parts but can't get to the store just yet, head to O'ReillyAuto.com. No shipping costs, easy returns, and convenient pickup on your schedule. Shop your way for the parts you need at O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day.
You're listening to Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We got Randy Cross and Brian Jones in the same studio.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Woo!
Now, my head barely fat. barely fat.
It ain't barely fat. it's like mine.
It barely fit in here, Coach, with Randy's in here.
Houston, hey, I got one quick question for you, Coach.
Okay.
You get that apology yet?
I can't get an apology.
I mean, can a man just get an I'm sorry and just move
on?
Right.
That's all I want, Randy. I can't get an apology.
Yeah, we don't need all these venues being moved and all that. Just give the man his damn apology, Coach. some good games this weekend, and my Longhorns take on Iowa State tomorrow, and I'll be looking not tomorrow but Thursday. I'll be definitely tuning into that one. But there's some prize undefeated teams. I look at this Duke team. And what Coach Cutcliffe is doing there, man. I know, Randy, you picked them a couple weeks ago to knock off Northwestern, and they did that in a big way. And they take on Miami. Miami had what I thought would be a good matchup versus Toledo, considering Miami hadn't played in a couple of weeks. How do you see this one shaking out, Miami at Duke?
You know, you're right. Coach Cutcliffe has done such an outstanding job at Duke. When you think of Duke, you think of basketball. But, you know, here of late, last few years, it seems like Coach Cutcliffe always put together a competitive team. And you know one thing. You know he knows how to coach these quarterbacks. Just a great developer of a guy that he'll teach this young man where to go with the ball. Teams are always very sound. I don't know. Yeah, I'm kind of leaning towards Miami saying all that because I think Mark Richt's kind of got the same thing going down there with a few more athletes. But this would be a good game, and – you never know. Each and we know one thing about sitting in that studio watching these games. Every Saturday is different.
Hey, Coach, how much of an advantage is it as a coach, as a team, do you think in your mind when you're a program like a Duke, like maybe even the Armed Forces Academies, teams like that where it's left-handed compliments are kind of patting you on the head. Oh, they have a nice little program. You know, it's almost like giving them fodder to just want to come out and drill you, isn't it?
There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. You know, when you don't get that respect factor, all that does is just put gasoline on the fire. And I'm sure, you know, there's so many times during that preparation week where Coach Cutcliffe, he doesn't have to say it too many times that, hey, they don't give us a chance. And all they do is go in there, and by the fourth quarter, you look up, here comes Duke again, and they're on the winning side. So got to be ready to go. And Coach Cutcliffe has his team ready to go, and you better watch out when you play a team like Duke.
Well, let's stay in the ACC. Vitek, they're going to host Clemson. Does Vitek have a chance in this one?
Woo! I think they do. I think they do. I think, of course, Bud Foster and those guys, I think defensively, you know how they'll compete. Offensively, Virginia Tech, they look good. But, you know, I'm a believer, you know, in Clemson, guys. You lose a 1,000-yard rusher in Gallman. You lose a 1,000-yard receiver in Williams. And all summer we talked about, well, they lost Deshaun Watson, the first rounder. Now, you know Clemson's going to take a step back. So you got to give Dabo Swinney and these guys such credit for the recruiting they've done, because Kelly Bryant has done a good job. And had a little up and down game last weekend, throwing some interceptions, but man, he's looked good coming out of the gate. But it's the defense. It's the defense of Clemson. You look at that defensive line, Wilkins, Bryant, those guys. Man, they're fun to watch. I just think Clemson's got it rolling right now.
Hey, Coach, who do you like in the SEC East? Just looking at all these teams, can Georgia be for real? Should we buy into that right now, or are we just get setting ourselves up for Mississippi State 2?
I tell you, Randy, when you look at that SEC East, I'm thinking, I wake up in the middle of the night, why couldn't the SEC East be like that when I was coaching? Man, you know, Georgia to me, I love their front seven. I love the quickness. To me, the problem is in the back end. Will they keep coming? Will they keep developing? I know Kirby, defensive-minded. I know how he'll practice these guys, but they're missing a few in the back end. But when you look at the East, I think they're going to be in Atlanta. I really do. Florida, I worry about them offensively, although Luke Del Rio, you know, is kind of giving them a lift. But offensively, they don't scare you like in the teams of the yesteryear. So I think Georgia, 4-0, I think they have a chance to get to Atlanta. And you got Fromm there you got two good backs behind you. It's Chubb and Michelle, as we know. And I think they'll keep coming. But when you look at the schedule on the eastern side, Tennessee, Florida, who's going to really challenge them? You know, I guess Florida can always hang with them on the defensive side, guys. But right now, I'm buying into Georgia.
Hey, yeah, quick, Coach. How do you handle, as a coach, this whole thing? You mentioned Jake Fromm. What do you say to a Jacob Eason who's going to have to sit? Yeah. I mean, and you got the hot hand thing and everything else, but you can't replace this other kid.
Right, and that's tough. And the thing you have to do with him, you know, a lot of guys was, oh, you know, it's not fair, he got hurt. Well, you know, that's the way, you know, life is. If life's not fair sometime. And what you have to do with Jacob Eason is call him in and one-on-one say, hey, listen, I hate you got hurt. Here's where we are. You're going to get about 20% of the reps in practice. Make sure that, hey, you're throwing the one-on-ones and all these things. And remember, hey, you're one play away. And I know you may not want to hear that right now, but this is where we are, and we need you in there. We need you involved in this team and stay mentally ready and stay with these mentally reps, the mental rep part of it, because you never know. You're a play away. But you're right, Randy. You just can't switch right now. This young man went to Notre Dame and won. He's won the last two times he's been out. The players are looking in this guy's eyes, Jake Fromm, and they believe in him. And you got to go with what's happening right now, and it's Fromm.
No, I would agree. And that defense you were just talking about there for Georgia, that's Bama D East. Yeah. They may be missing maybe one little piece back in that back end, yep. but up front, whew, they got after right. Mississippi State last week.
One of where Easton transfers.
One of what? One of more. We go down to East Mississippi College and get one. Yeah. That's yep. it. Go down to Scuba. Real quick, and we'll let you go. Mississippi State at Auburn. It looks like Jarrett Stidham, and I know it's easy to say that coming off a win versus Missouri, but it looks like he's starting to get a feel for this offense. They're starting to chunk the ball down the field a little bit more. What have you seen from his progress this early part of the season?
Well, like you said, you know, it's good to you go to Missouri and things are nice, and Missouri's having a tough time on defense. So I'm anxious to see now Jared against Mississippi State. Mississippi State getting their nose bloodied a little bit going into Georgia. They're going to have a different mindset this week. So I'm really looking forward to it. I don't know if, you know, Jared has really been tested right now. That has to give him confidence. Whenever you go win and you throw touchdown passes, you got to feel good. But now we got a ball game. And now you're going against some teams, a team that can run around. And Todd Grantham was doing a great job of Mississippi State. And I look for them to bounce back. This is going to be a close one. We're going to find out what Auburn's about and how their running game is. They got to get the running game going with Big Petway. And hopefully, for Auburn needs that 1-2 punch, guys. It's one thing with Petway just pushing the pile.
Yeah.
But if you got a speedster to kind of alternate the 1-2 punt, that helps out things. And then you get that going. Of course, you get the running game going, as y'all know, guys. Now that the passing game, that helps.
Coach, appreciate it. We'll see you Thursday. You're in Thursday for Inside College Football?
No.
Okay.
Get me out of there. I'm in there Friday.
I'll see you Friday.
Oh, there you go.
They're going to work me. They're working me like a government mule this week. So I'll be there Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and then I'll see you Saturday, of course. So appreciate you joining us.
All right, guys. Y'all keep it going.
Okay, baby.
Thanks, Houston.
I agree with Coach. I think this is going to be a close game, that Auburn-Mississippi State game. Mississippi State got hit in the mouth. Man, they're not built to come from behind with that offense, and they couldn't do anything. And Nick Fitzgerald, I think he only rushed for, what, about 40-something yards?
Yeah.
Threw for 80, maybe?
Well, that defense, they don't necessarily got the – I don't know how they're going to stand up against a bona fide bully attack. But if you try to get cute with them, you saw last week, that old read option, right. RPO, everything else, they'll break it off and stick it in you.
And that's exactly what they did to that other Bulldog. That was so impressive. You're talking about some hard hitting. You watch these SEC games, and I'm not saying they're the only ones, but I get to see them all the damn time. There's some hitting going on, especially when you get Bama involved, you get Georgia now, way they fly around, and even Florida's defense to a certain extent.
Yep.
These cats bring the noise. Randy, I appreciate you joining me. We're going to do it again tomorrow.
All right, can't wait.
You're going to double down on this bad boy. I'll see you later this afternoon over at the television studios. Thanks to PDB and Mikey B. I don't even think I thank you guys the other day, but thank you. Appreciate you. And Pierno out there. It
took 3 years.
It took me 3 years. Thank you. I should have waited. And all you out there listening and all the callers, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Gio and Jones.